Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
God is good all the time. Let's turn to the Word of the Lord. Mark chapter 3, verse 1. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand, and they watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, Stand forth. And he said unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day, or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he looked around about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said unto the man, Stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. You may be seated. The Word of God is absolute. Not my opinion, not current events, but the Word of God does not change. I talked to a lady the other day that has known me since I was 20-some years of age, and she said, You haven't changed one bit. I said, Not one bit. I've been preaching what I'm preaching now for well over 40 years, 50 years. I have not changed. I was raised in churches that were extremely legalistic. And by that, it means that salvation is predicated on your dress attire and your lack of jewelry. And so we had lots of rules. And so I started preaching in that, but I never preached that. They would ask me to. I remember going in Hodge, Louisiana, and the pastor said, I want you to make sure that when you get through, nobody owns the television. I said, How long have you pastored? He said, 40 years. I said, Well, when did they get those televisions? He said, Well, 40 years. And I said, You want me to come in here a few nights and undo what you didn't do in 40 years? I'm not going to talk about television. I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm doing the same thing I always did. I'm preaching on believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins. Get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Receive you the gift of the Holy Ghost. Live morally. Live victoriously. Praise God. And I'm not even doing what Bishop Jakes did. I don't know how many caught his sermon a couple of services ago, but it was amazing. It was fun. But he was some kind of upset about the way his women and his church were dressing. He said, You turned my church into a bordello, and I'm tired of it. I don't even do that. I'll leave that up to Bishop Jakes. But do look at that tape. It'd be good for you to hear that. Some of you doing fine. Some of you not doing so good. But I'm here to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said Jesus entered the synagogue, and I like this word, again. It wasn't his first rodeo. It wasn't his first church service. People say, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. But Jesus felt his need to go to church, but some people apparently are better than Jesus. They don't even need to go to church. But Jesus did. The apostle tells us that we should not forsake it. There is something about Jesus went to church repetitiously. And we need to take the whole Word of God, not just one verse we like. I've said for years, if John 3:16 was all the truth there was, why didn't Jesus just pass out matchbooks? Didn't need a whole Bible. Just matchbooks with John 3:16. That's a great truth. But the Bible is full of all kinds of truth that we need to embrace. And we're preaching so many things. I've said in our background, we preach so much legalism. They did. So much legalism. On the other hand, the Baptist folks preach so much grace. You've got to mingle the Word of God, join the Word of God, rightly divide the Word of God for it to make sense. You can't take one verse out and say, I'm going to believe this, when it violates 15 other scriptures. You've got to be able to put the whole package together. And so when we talk about grace, you say, well, I don't need to go to church because of grace. I don't need to tithe because of grace. That's simply not what the Bible teaches. In order to understand grace, you need to know what grace is not. Grace cannot violate any scripture. No matter what you believe about grace, it can't violate the scripture. Grace is not a permission to sin, not a license to sin. Grace is not an exemption from discipleship. I've heard him say on Christian television that behavior has nothing to do with Christianity, that we should stop with the book of Acts, because everything from the book of Acts on is about behavior, Christian behavior. And so grace does not tell you that you do not have to live circumspectly. The Bible says that we do. Grace is an invitation. It's an open door to those of us that were once on the outside and we couldn't get in. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You've read that scripture. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So he said, since I've found grace, I'm just going to sit here and wait. There's no need for me to build an ark. If he would have done that, he would have drowned. He found grace, but he still had to build the boat. Just because you found the grace of the Lord does not mean that you could abandon discipleship. And so Jesus went again to the synagogue. He went again. And when he went there, he found a man with a withered hand. This is grace, because under the law, Jesus would have been obligated to go dismiss the man from the church because he wasn't supposed to be there with a withered hand. It's the reason why the man with the crippled leg sat outside the gate, beautiful, in front of the synagogue and did not go in, because your problems and your physical maladies prevented you from going to the house of God. It was grace that Christ did not dismiss him from the house of God. You know, there's a historic study, commentaries on this man with a withered hand. And this makes it extremely interesting that this was not a birth defect, but this was something that happened to the man later in life. Either he'd had an accident or he developed a disease. For some reason, his hand had withered. And so he had lost something, something he had had. There's nothing as disheartening as to lose what you've previously had. You know, it's one thing to be poor, but it's another thing to used to be rich and you're poor again. It's one thing to have a home and have it taken away. To lose something. This man had lost something that he once had. He had the ability to reach out with both hands. When you have a withered hand, it violates so many opportunities. Lift up holy hands. You can't do that if your hand is withered. Reach out to the right hand of Philip. You cannot do that if your hand is withered. He had lost so many opportunities. And ladies and gentlemen, the Church of the Living God is suffering from that very thing. Things that the church used to be common in, the power of God, the Spirit of God, the move of God, the heal of God, things that the church could possess, most churches no longer have that because they have a withered hand. And they are content with that. But this man was not content with that. The fact that he was still going to church after his situation, after his accident, after his sin, tells you that he was hungry, that he was reaching out for that. And ladies and gentlemen, God wants us to forever be reaching forward. You say, well, I've got enough. That's not the right attitude. The Bible teaches this, that we're not only to be filled, but we're to be beyond filled. Because just full means you can contain it. But when you reach out for more, it means now I can't contain it. I'm going to have to share with somebody else. I'm going to give it to somebody else. The Bible talks about the lamb during the Passover. They said, if it's too big for your family, go to your neighbors and share the lamb with them. And by doing so, their firstborn was spared death. By sharing. So the Church of the Living God should forever be reaching out with both hands, saying, God, give me everything. Man's role is stretching, and God's role is restoration. You should forever be stretching. You said, well, I don't like to stretch because it hurts a little bit. That's exactly the purpose for stretching. It is supposed to hurt your flesh. Supposed to cause your flesh to be painful. Doing something you've never done before. That's the reason why you see athletes stretching before they go into their competition. They're stretching out those muscles and those tendons, getting ready for a real aggressive effort. The church should forever be asking for more, expecting to do more. You say, well, I don't want to be greedy. This is not the novel of Silas Marner that you read in literature in school. There was a group of people in that Silas Marner novel that went to church only occasionally because their reasoning was they didn't want God to think they were greedy. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches we are to be hungry. We are to be thirsty. We're always to be stretching our cords, strengthening our stakes, lengthening our cords, stretching more, making our habitation bigger. It's time for the Church of the Living God to realize that God has not done everything He wants to do. God's not done everything He wants to do in the church. God's not done everything He wants to do in the world. God's not done everything He wants to do in you. But unless you stretch, if you are continued to sit on the church pew without stretching, you will never ever receive what God has got in store for you. God's dreams for you are bigger than your dreams. God's challenge for you is bigger than your expectation. God expects you to be something phenomenal and supernatural. I love it when the Bible said we are a new creation. We are regenerated. That means that we step up. We're different than our mother and our father, our brother, our sister. We're different than our peers and our contemporaries because we have stretched. Ladies and gentlemen, when Jesus comes into the house like He did here, I don't know how long that man had been permitted to sit there with his withered hand, but when Jesus comes to church, things are going to change. And the truth is, Jesus is not welcome in a lot of churches. They just want their program, and they want to go through their ritual, but they don't want the presence and the power of God. They're in love with songs and sermons, but they're not in love with the Savior. Ladies and gentlemen, more and more, Living Way has a great history, and we've seen tremendous miracles, but I want there to be a stretching in this church as we race toward the rapture. I want there to be more divine interruptions. I've always been enthralled to the Scripture while Peter yet spake these words. It doesn't say when Peter had finished speaking. It says while he spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell. I will not be satisfied in Living Way Church until our worship team gets interrupted by the Holy Spirit. Until my sermons get unfinished by the power of the living God. And it will not happen as long as we are contented to be withered. But if we get hungry and say, God, I want to be restored. Is there anybody in this building that yearns for restoration? Because the Bible said in the last days, God is going to restore the years that the caterpillar and the cankerworm have destroyed. And I like that because when you talk about restored, it does away with age. It means that what happened to you in your glorious years of being 20 and 30 was fantastic. But in your 70s or even in your 80s, God could do more for you than you've had in your previous days of strength. It's called restoration. It happens when you say, God, I am not satisfied with what I am and with my limitation, and I'm on a stretch. That means I'm going to do like they sing. I'm going to sing louder. I'm going to dance more. I'm going to praise greater. I'm going to come more often. I'm going to give more. I'm going to distribute the love of Christ more efficiently to everybody I come in. I'm going to stretch myself. Don't think you've done all you can do. Don't think you've reached your limit. There is no limit in Christ. And Jesus Christ is prepared to show that as He did in this story. But He had a problem. Because the people were more interested in their ritual and their religion than they were the power of God. And that's true today. People get locked into their ritual and their religion and they want to exclude the supernatural interruption. But every day I want to sacrifice my ritual and my religion on the altar of consecration and say, God, I want You. I don't want just a song and a sermon. I want You. I want the Shekinah presence of the living God. You might not believe this, but there are people in this building that need their healing right now. You mean in this building now? Yes. In this building right now, the ingredients for a miracle are here. All we need to do is stretch our faith, enlarge our habitation, and say, I believe that God in the next 5 minutes or 10 minutes is going to show up and interrupt what we're going to do with the power of the living God. We need somebody to rise up out of their pew on various occasions and say, I've just been healed. Last Sunday, I think, a lady stood right here. And she came up here. And so when I prayed for her, they called me back. And she said, I can hear you. But that's just the beginning of what God wants to do. God wants to bring people out of their pews for salvation. God wants to baptize people in the pews with the Holy Ghost. God wants to heal people on the front row, the back row, in between, supernaturally. Do you know what it is to sit in a congregation and suddenly feel the sheer warmth of the Holy Spirit come over you like God has dumped hot water over you? We've had people do that in these buildings, next door in here, that the miracle would happen. One man said that he was sitting next to a guy, and he said, "What was that?" He thought it was a gun going off. He said it sounded, just said, he said something popped so strongly. It happened in the old building. And the man said, "My neck has been frozen. I couldn't move my neck." And he said, while he was preaching, he said, "That bone popped in my neck. My neck is released." Ladies and gentlemen, that's what God wants to do. God's not here just about programs and religion. God wants to meet with his people one on one. Christ surveyed the multitude and asked them, "Will you be made whole?" And out of the great multitude of that pool, only one man said yes, and he had been there 38 years. I ask you today, is there one person in this building that would say, "I realize that I am a little bit limited, that I'm a little bit halted, and God, today I'm ready to stretch forth. I'm not going to stay withered in my faith. I'm not going to be stayed withered in my expectation. I believe the Holy Ghost is in this house now. I believe God is going to touch my body, touch my spirit, touch my family. I believe in the supernatural power of God." But Jesus always has a problem in church. And because the problem was these people were so hard of hearts. And the Bible said Jesus was angry at them. He was angry at them. Do you believe that Christ gets angry at church? Jesus went to church a lot, but he was not the normal person at church. He would stand up and take over. And the Bible said he'd read the scripture. The Bible said he'd turn the tables over in church. The Bible said he would stop the sermon by saying to a man across the aisle, "Stretch forth." God is saying that to someone in this room today. Can you imagine the elders being upset when they hear Jesus saying to somebody, "Stretch forth. Stretch forth your hand." That's not what we want. We've got a program and we intend to follow that program. We don't have a program. Jesus is our program. He is the Savior. He is the healer. He is the way maker. There are people in this building right now that need miracles from the Lord. And the longest day I will live, I will be haunted by the young lady that sat on the second pew of that church right next door. She was about 16, 17 years of age. I preached to her. She had never been there before. I don't know whether she had ever been to any church before. I preached to her that Sunday. I apparently didn't do very good because she left that building, and 3 days later, I preached her funeral at sunset on Austin Highway because she had committed suicide. We didn't have the interruption that we needed. We allowed her to come and go with her withered hand. Ladies and gentlemen, we that are saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Spirit have incumbent upon us a real necessity, and that is that we create an atmosphere of miracles for everybody that comes in here. Their name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They're not in divine health. They don't have enough food. They don't have a place of shelter. There are people that are coming into this building with real needs, and it's up to you and I. That's the reason why selfish Christians stay home. They think it's all about them. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not all about you. It's not all about me. It's about us. We've got to create a climate. And so you can stay home and watch us online, but by doing so, you're not contributing to the climate. You've got to come to this house to contribute to the climate. And the climate that we are searching for is one that is permeated with the supernatural, creative, redemptive power of the living God. That doesn't happen until the hard hearts are broken up until people that are religious start being spiritual. We need people to come into this house, put their hands in the air, and lift up Jesus Christ. Sing to the top of their lungs. Clap their hands. Worship the Lord. Acknowledge God. Say amen to the preaching. Worship with the worshipers. Why? Because if we will do that, I promise you, He will inhabit the praise of His people. And suddenly what is a normal religious service becomes heaven on earth, setting together in a heavenly place. Suddenly Christ is strolling the aisles. He's whispering to every ear, will you be made whole? It doesn't matter what your need is. If it's a legal matter, a spiritual matter, a financial matter, a physical matter, God is more than able. And I tell you today that there is somebody in this building that is withered in some area of your life. And I'm telling you that God is saying this to you right now. If you will stretch forth, if you will reach out, I promise you, you won't leave this building like you came. I will change you. I know there's a lot of doubters and unbelievers in religion, but it doesn't matter. It didn't stop Christ. Stretch forth your hand. And when He stretched forth His hand, the Bible said immediately His hand was made whole like His other hand. There's somebody that's got some things that are missing in your life. Don't go through life with things that are essential missing. Demand of God. Shake heaven. Storm the gates. Knock. Seek. Ask. God is in this room right now. It's not God's will that you be lost. It's not God's will that you be sad. It's not God's will that you be troubled. It's not God's will that you be sick. It's not God's will that you be bound. The Holy Ghost is here. He's in me, but it's not enough to be in me. He needs to flow out of me and flow out of you until this atmosphere is filled with the Shekinah power of the living God. And people walk out of this building different than they came in. It can happen if we praise God. But not as long as we limit the stretch. As long as we say, we're doing enough. We've sang enough. We've praised enough. We've got to get violent. The Bible said the kingdom of God suffers violent. We've got to get holy violent and say, we will not sit here